We are welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It is called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It is an insider look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give his unique perspective on hot topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
State Farm Insurance knows that understanding and investing in our cultural identity is paramount in protecting our future. We know what it's like to go from nothing to something, to wish that we had better financial literacy when we were younger. Luckily, State Farm is here to help with funding programs like Project Ready, which is committed to education achievement and has already awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers to Black and Brown youth since 2021. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
You know a spot, but not just a spot, the spot. Actually, with the 2023 Nissan Frontier, you know a bunch of them. But the key to these great spots? Being able to reach them in the first place. Your spot is out there. Find your frontier in the 2023 Nissan Frontier with standard 310 horsepower, advanced tech, and 281 pound-feet of torque.
AT&T Connects and Ode to Podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. This is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200 percenters. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more. Then, every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community. Listen to Life as a Gringo on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Wake up! Wake up! Wake up!
Now, you guys really are like the hip-hop early morning, late night talk show.
Breakfast Club is the most powerful, popular urban radio show in America.
Made it. Live from the Black Mothership in New York City, it's DJ Envy and Charlamagne Tha God.
It's different, you know what I'm saying? Like, y'all know what y'all talking about.
Thank you, y'all. Be blessed, love. I love y'all.
Collectively known as
Breakfast Club, bitches.
So I'm always nervous when I do the Breakfast Club because sometimes you say stuff and it's just gonna get you in trouble.
Everybody wake up.
Good morning, USA.
Wow.
Yo, 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 yo,
Charlamagne Tha God.
Peace to the planet. It's Friday.
Yeah, I got a cold.
Listen.
Strange.
The fact you said you got a turtle in your mouth is strange. I'm 45 years old. I was born in 1978. I've never heard nobody say that in reference to having a cold.
A turtle in your throat, something in your throat.
I ain't never heard that.
That sounds crazy.
Anybody in this room ever heard that one? I had a turtle in my mouth. A turtle
something
in my throat.
In my throat.
What's his name? Know. Leonardo, Raphael, Donatello, Michelangelo? Which one is it?
One of them. One of them. I feel like I got something's in my throat, but I'm coming
Whoa,
down.
Oh, man, shut up, man. God damn. I know it's Freaky Freaky Friday, but Lord have mercy. We know.
Shut up.
Okay.
Shout to all the students at Howard University. I was at Howard University last night. You know, I'm on my HBCU tour, so when I'm DJing, it was actually me and Clue. You know, you're yelling, and it feels like I'm coming down with something.
Clue had you yelling all night? What'd you say? Just like old times,
why
huh?
Why can't you stop, man?
Just like old times. Hey, I'm here to serve. We're here to serve, man. Happy Friday. Another day. The Breakfast Club is on your radio, man. Happy to serve the people, man. I feel blessed, right. Black and highly favored.
We got some special guests joining us today.
We have
Ida Rodriguez, comedian. She has a new book. We're going to be kicking in with Ida Rodriguez.
BT, can you see me holding up Ida's book? It's called Legitimate Kid. It's a memoir, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Salute to Ida Rodriguez.
Also, rapper Nick Grant will be joining us.
Nick Grant, South Carolina's own. Walter Burrow, South Carolina. He's got a new album out called Sunday Dinner.
Yes.
You know? And if you're not familiar with Nick Grant, you should be familiar with Nick Grant because he's one of the nicest lyricists out here on this planet today.
That's right. So we're going to be kicking it with both of them today.
That's right.
All right. Now it's Friday. What you doing this weekend?
My God. Don't worry about what I'm doing this weekend, okay? And I don't want to know what you're doing this weekend either. All right?
No, I'm just relaxing.
The show just started. All right?
I know.
We'll get to what I'm doing this weekend later on, but it's really nothing, so it don't matter.
Oh, is it a frog in my throat? I feel like I got a frog.
Nah, I've heard that. That I've heard. Right. Boy, you are so stupid.
Frog, turtle.
The way you set Hampton people back, the way you set Bageman back, like, you are really stupid.
It's
we
a
love
frog
you though.
In the throat. It's a frog in the throat. I don't know why I said
yeah, frog.
It's a frog.
Because you probably was watching the movie. Did you watch the movie?
I did not.
You think Raphael's cute? That's what
no.
it is.
No.
They remind me. The Ninja Turtles remind you of me. You know? So that's why you probably feel this way. But let's get the show started. Tesla Fear Girls up next with Front Page News.
Kinky. You really kinky this morning. I don't know why you flirting with me already, but okay.
You need to go do something about that frog in your throat. You know what I'm saying? Do you want somebody to kiss that frog and turn it into a prince so then it'll be a prince in your throat?
Hey, what's wrong with you? Tesla Figaro's up next. Front Page News. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning. Let's go. Morning, everybody. It's DJ NV, Charlamagne the Guy. We are the Breakfast Club. Let's get in some Front Page News. Good morning, T's.
Oh, good morning, DJ Envy. Good morning, yep. Charlamagne the God. Good
My
morning,
voice
Mike.
Is crazy. Now, I know. Let's start off with some quick NFL. Last night, the Jaguars beat the Saints 31-24. Now, what are we jumping into?
Yeah, let's talk about the 400 Capitol staffers. They're calling for a ceasefire. Muslim and Jewish congressional staffers signed a letter yesterday urging Congress to back a ceasefire between Israel and Hamas in the light of the anti-Jewish, anti-Muslim, and anti-Palestinian sentiment on the rise in the nation. Now, the letter they wrote said that nationwide and in the Congress, the voices calling for de-escalation and peace have been drowned out by those beating the drums of war. As Muslims and Jews, we are tired of reliving generational fears of genocide and ethnic cleansing. It often feels like the conversations on Capitol Hill are completely divorced from the conversations people are having among their friends, family, and coworkers. So they are asking for peace because obviously the U.S. is making decisions without input, you know, from the American people. And certainly, I guess these staffers are seeing it from behind the scenes and they're saying, you know, enough is enough. Now, speaking of that, President Biden did address the nation last night about Ukraine and Israel and how the U.S. must continue to support. Let's take a listen to a few of his words.
We can't let petty, partisan, angry politics get in the way of our responsibilities as a great nation. We cannot and will not let terrorists like Hamas and tyrants like Putin win. I refuse to let that happen. In moments like these, we have to remember who we are. We are the United States of America. The United States of America. And there is nothing beyond our capacity if we do it together.
Once again, man, do what you got to do for global stability, but take care of home first. Like,
absolutely.
It's terrible that we have money for war but can't feed the poor here in America. What are they asking for? $100 billion in funding they're requesting from Congress? $100 billion while folks is over here starving, while folks is over here homeless? Like, why can't we take care of the basics here first?
But I thought we were in huge debt. I thought we were borrowing money from countries and borrowing money from allies. So how do we have that money to actually give to them?
Mm-hmm. I don't know. And in this way, you can address the nation all you want, but I promise you, the nation doesn't care about foreign policy or foreign politics the way they do about here at home. I can guarantee you that.
Mm-hmm.
American foreign policy priorities are not the priorities of the average everyday American. I can guarantee you that.
Yeah, and just for clarity, it's certainly more than that because it's $100 billion to Israel. And then yesterday, the report was $100 million that's going to for the relief in Gaza. So it's way more than that. And they asked for an $8 billion package they're putting together as well, you know, in Congress for this effort. And then again, not including what's already been in Ukraine. So the numbers just keep adding up. So it's certainly a lot of money that they're talking about. And with that said, in Congress right now, Jim Jordan, who they are saying is going to be the next Speaker of the House in order to get more of this money out, is important to have a speaker. He goes up for a third vote today. They continue to keep telling him, we don't want you, Jim. And Jim is saying, I'm going to keep on pushing the line. And as a result of that, a voicemail was left on the wife of a congressman's phone. Now, they did not say who this wife was or who the congressperson was. They wanted to make sure they protected the identity, but a very disturbing voicemail. I got a few seconds of it. Check it out.
Why is your husband such a pig? Why would he get on TV and make an ass of himself? Because he's a deep state prick? Because he doesn't represent the people? So what we're going to do is we're going to come follow you all over the place. We're going to be up your ass nonstop.
Jesus.
We are now Antifa. We're going to do what the left does because you're f***ing of a husband. gets on TV. Just, oh, the bad guys, they did, so I'm going to vote for Kevin McCarthy, a piece of shit, who everybody knows, and for his piece of ass to talk about Americans who are actually fighting for Americans as the bad people, says everything about him. So, you, your husband. So listen, I'm putting all your information over the internet now, everybody else's, and you're going to be molested like you can't ever imagine. And again, non-violently, you must be a bitch to marry a ugly mother like that.
Damn. How are you going to end that by saying, well, non-violently? What the hell?
That sounds crazy.
Where the hell did I get the number from? Who number was that again?
They find it. Just like people have found information, left voicemails, left, you know, did when you go against some of these folks, you know, in their position, they get pretty aggressive with trying to find your information. It was even at one point, I even had to turn my website, you know, information off. People find numbers, they leave voicemails, send text messages. I mean, this is how they get out.
Well, they can't star 6ix9ine? What was that old thing back in the day?
Yeah, star 6ix9ine, yeah, so no call ID.
Not on the cell phone.
Lord have mercy.
Yeah, but these people like that should get locked up, and that's regardless. When you threaten people over the line and you threaten to put their information out, their address, their phone number, where people can actually get hurt, that's a threat, and they should get arrested.
Yeah, like remember that movie Minority Report, where they arrest you for what you might do, if you make those kind of threats, they should charge you like you actually did the crime.
Absolutely.
Straight up.
Well, I don't charge like you did the crime.
Man,
if
you're gonna go out of your way to get on the phone and do all of that, well, at least half.
Yes. Right?
Whatever they would give you for doing the crime, give them half for doing that phone call.
That's right.
Yeah, because we know this really can happen. Because remember, this happened to Nancy Pelosi's husband.
That's
so,
right.
You know, the spouse of an elected official, like, this is a real thing. And the conversation, for those who want to check it out, you go look at it on, listen to it online, is actually much worse. That was just a few seconds. He went on and on for a good minute.
All right. Well, that is front page news. Now get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you need to vent, phone lines are wide open again. 800-585-1051. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. Wake it up. This is your time to get it off your chest.
Keep calling.
800-585-1051. We want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
Hello. Who's this?
Yeah, what's up, Envy?
What up, Trev?
What's up, Shar?
Peace, sis. What's happening?
I'm chilling. Envy, first, I just want to tell you, because, you know, I've been to Howard University and woke up the next day feeling like I had something in my throat, too. So I just want to give you some advice.
Dang.
They have these, you know, throat numbing spray that you can use. You want to spray it down your throat, and it's probably going to help you out a little bit.
Shut up, Trev.
Howard Homecoming sucking something.
Yo, shut up.
You know, he was at Howard Homecoming. I know how I'll be. I ain't judging you.
What you want, Trav?
He want what you got last night that got your throat hurting. That's
yo,
what he want.
Shut up, man.
Yeah, I want to say one thing, man. Sean Stone, that man is obsessed with me, right? And this man called in telling Jeff all this stuff. I got one question for y'all. Envy and Sean, when y'all asked me, you know, a few months ago who I think would be the best fit, right now, and I gave you my honest opinion, everything to the side. Who did I say?
You said Jessica Robin Moore.
Yes.
Okay, that's all I got to say. Thank y'all so much. Y'all have a good day.
All right, Trav.
That beef is real.
Hello, Sean and Trav just need to have sex already. The tension is crazy.
They both need some.
Yo, what's good, man? What's good? This is Prince Creed from the 757.
Peace,
Prince, what up?
I want to talk about... Peace, guys. Yo, I want to talk about these old politicians, man. I don't know if... I mean... Who watched the presidential address the nation, man? But is it me, man, that Biden was up there crying? Like, you know, he was just looking real dead up there, man. So, Charlamagne, I'm going to ask you a question, man.
Yes, sir.
Can any other Democrat run against him, man?
Can any other Democrat? I mean, there's people that's running against Biden now. You know, you got Marianne Williamson, you got Cornel West, you got Robert F. Kennedy Jr. He's not considered a Democrat no more. He's running as an independent. But, I mean, they're all running now. I don't think they got a... I mean, I don't know if they got a chance or not. I guess they got the chance that the people would give them, but the DNC not going to give them that right shot to win, so...
But to answer you, yes, people can run against them.
But it's not,
yeah,
it's
because,
not
man,
fair.
It's time for us, yeah, man, it's time for us to vote young, man, because I'm looking at this guy, man. He's really looking dead up there, bro. But I'm independent anyway. I'm in the middle, man. I vote for whatever's going to work for my community, man, but...
And also,
to the point... Huh?
No, I was going to say, I do think it's a very fair question to ask nowadays, Is Joe Biden and Kamala Harris still a winning ticket? You know, I don't think, you know, all the other stuff might not be fair. Like when you make comments about the age or, you know, when they're getting on Kamala saying she's a vice president that doesn't do anything. That might not be fair, but it is fair to ask, is Joe Biden and Kamala Harris still a winning ticket?
I don't know. Well, good point, man. Good point. And yo, Envy, man, look, last time I said keep your head, man. Let me correct it. Keep your head up, my brother. And I hope you feel better today.
You don't want to. You don't want your head because your throat hurt, Envy. All right, Jesus, he said. You know, we get it. Okay, his throat hurts this morning. You don't want the head.
Oh my goodness.
I understand.
All right, thank you, brother. If you're just joining us, yeah, it feels like I have a frog in my throat.
That's
not
what you said earlier. Earlier, you said it feel like you got a Ninja Turtle in your throat. That's what you said. You said it feel like you got Donatello's staff down your throat. That's what you said.
I'm at Howard Homecoming, so last night I was DJing, and my voice is a little gone. So, but get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you need to vent, hit us up now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
It's a new day.
This is your time to get it off your chest.
Wake up.
Whether you're mad or blessed.
It's time to get up and get something.
Call up now. 800-585-1051. We want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
Hello, who's this?
Yo, DJ Envy, Charlamagne the God. What's going on, gentlemen? How you doing?
Peace, King. Who this?
What up? Get it off your chest.
It's Coach Davis, man. How's everything, fellas?
We bless Black Coach? And highly favored, Coach.
Hey, man, listen. I was listening to that, you know, that report that, you know, about the government, man. And, you know, I've always said this, you know, left wing, right wing, always part of the same bird, man. I don't care how you split it. You understand what I'm saying? And these guys, these people that's in power, they really, really, really don't have the American people's heart at mind, man. And, you know, it's sad to say that, but it is what it is. But, Charlamagne, I want to ask you this question, man. I'm an educator by profession, right? I'm on my way to work now. And I've had on my heart a couple books that I wanted to produce that I've actually wrote. And I'm looking for a publishing company, and I understand you have one. You know, I would like to know if you can send me some information on how I can get, you know, get down with that and what's the process behind it.
Absolutely. I'm going to put you on hold, and our producer, Eddie, going to get your information, and I'll give you the email. I'll connect you with my people.
Okay. And lastly, listen, Envy, my guy.
Yes, sir.
Y'all praying for you, bro. You know what I'm saying? What's understood doesn't have to be spoken. But I'm praying for you, man. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to keep you in my prayers, bro, you and your family. You understand what I'm saying? Because regardless of what it is, it's all about family, man. And I think you're a good dude that try to do the best for him, yourself, your family, and the community, man. So I'm praying for you, man. And lastly, I know it's kind of long, but lastly, you're the 28th of this month. Coney Island going to make history. The Coney Island Thunder's inaugural season is popping off. Game at 5 o'clock on Saturday, the 28th, at Kingsburg Community College. Hey, listen, people, if y'all would like to purchase tickets, go to CIThunder.com. That's CIThunder.com, man. Gentlemen, I love y'all like cooked food to life, man. Y'all have a great day.
Thank you, Black.
Good luck,
man.
Brother. All right, well, get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. When we come back, we got your rumor report. Young Blue is in the rumors. We'll explain why. So don't go anywhere. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
All right, so there we were, cruising through the new open-air zoo, when I realized that the park was closing in like 15 minutes. Luckily, we were in my Nissan Rogue with its powerful V6 turbo engine. Wow. We had time to see all the animals. Whoa! And outrun a few!
Drive the Nissan Rogue.
We're welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It's an insider's look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give us his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. CJ will be bringing his A-list comedian buddies to keep it light and fire off some hoop takes. Plus, John will be inviting current and former NBA players, friends, and teammates to join the show as well to give their unfiltered accounts of what really goes on in the league from a player's perspective. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
State Farm Insurance gets it. Representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. State Farm understands and wants to help protect our communities by investing in our future, building off the hard work our parents have done before us. We all are looking to create generational wealth so that our families and generations behind us have a better starting point than we did. That begins with financial literacy. State Farm helps fund programs like Project Ready, a National Urban League program committed to the educational achievement of Black and brown youth. To date, participants have been awarded over $11 million in scholarships offers as a direct result of contributions from State Farm. At Eating While Broke, we hear inspiring rags-to-riches stories on each episode from our guests, but with State Farm, you can begin to write your own success story. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. Nyla's here. You know, she has passed the aux in a couple of at 8:50, so we're going to be kicking with Nyla, but she's going to join us for a little bit. And let's get to the rumors. Let's talk Young Blue.
Rumor has it.
Call out a name, or you gossiping, or you chatty patty.
I'm gossiping.
This is the Rumor Report.
I mean, I guess we on the Breakfast Club. This is where the tea spills, right?
Right.
Now, Young Blue was arrested yesterday for allegedly attacking a woman. Now, this is an incident at the center of an alleged custody dispute involving a 10-year-old child. They said that officers responded to a 911 call from a woman on October 15th to their home. When deputies arrived, they said the woman told them that Young Blue had shown up at the residence unannounced with the intent to take the 10-year-old child with him. They said an argument ensued and allegedly he threw the woman to the ground. Now, Young Blue made a statement. He says, I'm off this internet thing. I cherish women and I'm completely innocent. Just know this about to be one of the toughest times to be a fan of mine because I'm about to go into another bracket as owner and entrepreneur. And people hate, you know that, they hate on that. So that's what happened with Young Blue while he was arrested yesterday.
Damn.
This is like the second fiasco he's had with women in the media, like within like the past 2 months, I feel like.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like he needs to sage.
Mm-hmm. This is just a sage.
Sounds like he needs a sage, but I like Young Blue. I hope he figures that out.
Yeah. Now, Suge Knight. Now, this is crazy. Suge Knight is starting a podcast from prison.
We do not need podcast mics in prison. The last thing we need is podcast mics in prison. Podcast mics in prison is a recipe for disaster.
Let's listen to the trailer.
More than $300 million. Death row with a possible RICO case in mind.
People don't know about that stuff.
David May started The Source on the new Source for News. The magazine is now a $10 billion a year publication.
Every time you turn around, everybody wants to spread some lies or some s***.
Any artist out there want to be an artist and want to stay a star, we won't have to worry about the executive producer trying to be all in the videos, all on the records. Come to death row.
You have a prepaid call from
Suge Knight.
So this sounds like a well-produced, singular-focused podcast. This podcast is actually about an issue? What is it about?
I guess they're going to be talking about everything. He's going to be talking about it all everything that's going on with Death Row. He's going to be, they say, barking back at Snoop, Akon. and a host of other people. He's going to reply into some of the things that they've heard. So, yeah, this is it's actually on Breakbeat Media, so it is going to be coming out. They said 5 episodes are already shot, so we'll be seeing it soon.
I guess she'll got a story to tell. I'm just saying, like, you don't want just random podcast mics floating around prison. Like, you do not want to hear a podcast called Guys We Effed coming out of a male correctional facility. Nobody wants that. All right. Okay. And the only other way I would want podcast mics in prison is if you have some of these brothers and sisters telling stories about how they got there. So maybe people don't make the same decisions that they made.
That would be good.
That could be interesting.
Let me ask you a question. Mm-hmm. Doesn't that get you in trouble? Like, you're not supposed to have a podcast. I'm sure Mike's in jail, or you're not supposed to be talking, and then all of a sudden the podcast comes out.
Doesn't that sound crazy? People be on FaceTime in jail.
Word up.
A lot of people from jail have been in contact with me a lot of different ways. So yes. I don't know what the rules are, but I will say, I feel like a lot of podcasts these days already feel like jail talk. It'd be nothing but hood trauma stories. Little day they did this back then. I'd just be like, my goodness, I'm over it.
It is something to what Nyla's saying, because you do have a lot of people on podcasts kind of like just incriminating themselves, right? Yep. So these are the people who have literally incarcerated for crime, you know. So once again, I just feel like if they're in there and they're telling us how they got there, and maybe people don't make those same mistakes, that could be cool if they teach you, turn it into a teachable moment. But other than that, nah.
Mm. And lastly, it seems like Megan Thee Stallion and Carl Crawford, Carl Crawford was the owner of the label she was signed to, 1501 Certified. It seems like the beef is now over. They parted ways. Everything seems fine. So I know it's been 3 years of back and forth, but now they say that they have ended their relationship, financially and I guess business-wise. So she is no longer on 1501 Certified. So I know she was looking for that. So congratulations to her. All right.
What I mean? They bought her out? Like, what happened? Like, they didn't give no details?
Nah, they're not giving no details. They just say they amicably part ways and ended 3 years of back and forth of swiping on social media.
And so they were in court and everything, right?
Yeah, in court and everything. So maybe they agreed to, maybe somebody bought it out. Maybe he'll still get a percentage of whatever it is, but she's no longer on 1501 Certified.
I don't like stuff like that. When there's so much noise around a situation, we knew all the details going into it.
Right.
So tell us all the details when things get cool.
I was about to say, they ain't saying nothing. Kind of scares me, but doing business with anybody from Texas like that honestly scares me.
Damn, why are you shooting the whole Texas, Nyla?
Just because the
history. Who owe you money in Texas?
Nobody, but music history in Texas, like, all those people intimidate me.
Like who?
Oh, I get what you say. You say the what you've heard about some of the people in Texas.
Yeah, like how they
do. Not that they do bad business. You just hear intimidating things about them.
Yes.
Oh, I get what you say.
Like,
The legend of Jay Prince is what you're talking about.
Jay Prince, right. Mob ties, all that. I want no beef, no problem, no parts. And once they get involved, we don't hear nothing. All we know is it's a done deal.
I get what you're saying.
I'm okay. Salute to Texas, though.
All right. Well, that is your rumor report. Now, when we come back, Teslin Figueroa will be joining us for Front Page News. And you hear that, Charlamagne? That frog is coming out the throat. I don't know what it was.
Here, I got a copy of Jada Pinkett Smith's new book if anybody wants it. I got a couple of these. I'm just giving these out. I showed you this because it might scare that frog out your throat.
Oh,
all right. Look at this.
All right. When we come back, we got Front Page News. And don't forget, Ida Rodriguez will be joining us. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. Your mornings will never be the same.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Charlamagne the Guy. We are the Breakfast Club. Let's get in some front page news. The Jaguars beat the Saints last night 31-24. And what up, Tiz?
What's going on, DJ Envy, Charlamagne the Guy, Breakfast Club family?
The Hood Whisperer, Tez Figueroa. What's happening?
Mm-hmm. What's good?
Let's jump right into it. Let's talk about the murder rate.
Yeah, I wanted to try to do. It's been such a heavy week, guys. I'm sure you agree with all of the war coverage. Wanted to try to find something at least positive that we could talk about during this hour. And the murder rate fell 6% nationwide. Now, depending on where you live, if you feel that or not, and obviously if you've experienced something tragic, this may not mean much. But for those who want to know, what's happening with the murder rate, it has went down. The FBI issued their annual crime report and found that violent crime in the U.S. has decreased. The murder rate went down 6.1%. 6% from in 2022. Again, they just released this report, you know, kind of doing the assessment from last year. Overall, violent crime dropped 1.7%, including a 6.1% decrease in murder and non-negligent manslaughter. And the murder rate also continues to fall this year after it jumped nearly 30% during the pandemic in 2020. So in 2022, the rate for homicide was 6.3%. Offense 6.3 homicide offenses per 100,000. This is down from 2021, which was a rate of 6.8% per 100,000 people. So property crime is on the rise, unfortunately, but the murder rate is down.
I don't feel it. All I see is people getting killed like all the time. And what is it down from, 1,000,000%? Like, what is that say? Like,
I don't feel like that at all.
Yeah, no, I don't see that. All I see is people getting killed all the time. But
especially
on
the papers, on the news, man. It just seems like the murder rate is gone up. It feels like it.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, like I said, it's personal. It's all going to come down to if you feel it or not, and that will affect folks, you know, at the voting booth. But, you know, me personally, losing a friend last month, lost one this month, funeral today, actually.
Sorry to hear that, Ter.
Absolutely.
Yeah, thank you so much. So it just, you know, it just depends. Now, my friend today, shout out to him, active. He was not murdered. I want to be clear about that. But last month, friend was, and I think I mentioned that on the show, S-Bone, who was murdered, unfortunately. So, again, a lot of still happening for people having, you know, a personal connection. That's what it comes down to in politics. What do you feel personally? We can put the stats out, we can have the conversations, but at the end of the day, if people don't feel it, these stats mean nothing. But I still wanted to, you know, at least let you know what the FBI said.
Oh no, I agree with you. I'm a person that I vote my own interest, and if I don't vote my own interest, I will vote for things that I know will benefit others. You know, so to your point, I'm definitely all about interest when I vote.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's talk about hitting that snooze button now.
Yeah, I wanted to know, do you guys hit the snooze button in the morning? Right. I'm sure you do. You got to get up early. We all hit that snooze button. There's a report that says it actually can benefit your brain. So I wanted to give you this information. Scientists at the Stockholm University found that snoozing may actually support the waking process for regular snoozers. Now, for years, they've called snoozers lazy and perhaps saying that they, you know, just don't want to get up and need to hurry up and get up. But they have found that this actually helps the brain's ability to wake up properly. 1,732 individuals answered questions about their morning habits, including if they hit the snooze button, and they found that this allowed them to wake up easier. They woke up quicker on their feet and a little bit more sharp when they had the snooze. And the snooze the time that they looked at for the study was an extra 30 minutes. So me personally, I think I do like 10 or 15, depends on what coast I'm on. West Coast for sure, because I'm up at like 1 a.m., 2 a.m. in the morning. So I do like 15 minutes there. Central time, I do maybe 10 minutes. And East Coast, I usually can kind of get right on up. So
yeah, I wake up at 4:15 every morning. I usually hit the snooze button. It ain't that long though. I think my snooze button might be like 3-4 minutes. You know what I want? I want a customized alarm clock. Like, I want an alarm clock that when it goes off, it claps and it's like, rise, king, get up, today is your day, king, like cheering you on, like, woo.
Well, I guess you could record that as audio and make that your audio.
You wake up your wife. You wake up your wife if that goes off every day.
I mean, the alarm gonna go off anyway. So, you know, just imagine how that is to start your day with that kind of like somebody celebrating you. Like, yay, he's up. Yay. Yes. Man, listen, the world is yours.
I'll be honest. The reason I don't have a snooze button, because I don't use the snooze, is because the alarm is so loud. And usually one of the kids is in our room for some reason. One of the kids, the baby, one of them is in our room. One ends up in the room. And you're trying to be so quiet not to wake up the family when you're leaving in the morning. So I don't even there's no snooze for me.
Yo, your throat cleared up.
It did clear up a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, you stop crying?
Crying? What the hell are you talking about?
He's like a little white man crying. Look at him on that screen.
I ain't goddamn crying. What are you talking about?
So you just jump right up then and hit the floor.
I just jump right up and go. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Well,
all right. Well, thank you, Tiz.
Absolutely.
Make sure you subscribe to Tesla and Figueroa's podcast, the Straight Shot No Chaser podcast on the Black Effect iHeartRadio podcast network, and follow at Tesla and Figueroa on all social media platforms.
That's right. And when we come back, Ida Rodriguez will be joining us. We're going to kick it with Ida. She got a new book. What's the name of the book, Charlamagne?
Legitimate Kid. It is a memoir, man. You know Ida. She's a comedian. She's a director. Like, Ida does it all. So her book is really good. And it's really, you know, I don't want to say traumatic in a good way, but I will just say she's a person who has found a way to turn her trauma into treasure and lessons for us all. That's what I'll say.
All right. And we'll get to that next. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ NV, Charlamagne Tha God, Jess Hilarious. We are The Breakfast Club, and we got a special guest in the building.
Yes, indeed.
We have Ida Rodriguez.
Hey, I think I am the Latin person. What we call now? Latinx.
Latinx, right?
I think. Mm-hmm. I think I'm the Latin person that's been on the show the most. Mm. This is like my seventh time.
Oh, Envy Dominican.
I know. He's on the weekend.
Dominican. Yeah. I think you and Fat Joe.
Me and Fat Joe. Well, maybe Fat Joe.
Yeah, you and Fat Joe.
Fat Joe been up here a lot.
I mean, Fat Joe is Joey Crack.
You never not working, Ida. New book, Legitimate Kid.
You know what? I was laughing because she said that books are the new diss record.
Yes.
Yeah.
They are.
And it is. So I'm dissing my mama and daddy in this.
Oh, really? Jesus.
I know that's right.
Jesus.
It's a different diss. Okay. I'm holding them accountable, but I'm not. Yeah. Never diss my mom. My mom is my queen.
Why'd you call it Legitimate Kid?
Because kids in the hood are evil. And when I was little, a kid told me I was a bastard because I didn't have my father's last name.
Jesus.
And I found out what it meant. And then I felt less than. And so I went on a journey to find my legitimacy. And I want all the little kids that grow up in the hood that hear this, your daddy didn't sign your birth certificate. That doesn't make you legitimate. That term comes from prostitution. It has nothing to do with parental presence in your life. It came.
You mean the term bastard?
Yeah, that came. Mm-hmm. Being a legitimate came from them saying children that were born to prostitutes were not legitimate. Mm-hmm. But then they weaponized that against people of color, poor people. And so I wanted to find out more about myself because that affected the way I dealt with men, you know, my life as a mom and all that stuff. And so I want everybody who reads that book to know that they are legitimate.
I know you said something back to the boy though. What was the joke back to the boy? You had something for him.
Nah, you know, you know my joke. When I was a kid, I was meek. When I was little, this didn't happen till like this was in elementary. I didn't get gully till middle school when I started peeping the pro wings. Mm-hmm. You're too young to know what that is.
Okay.
Pro she wings said, okay, are yeah, sneakers right. from Payless that the poor people used to wear.
Yep.
I had some Payless sneakers. They was cool.
Yeah, that was cool when when we was kids.
Oh,
when we
wow.
was kids, that was food stamps.
Right? You probably had them swagged out, though.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. I wore the flare legs. Nobody could see that they was Payless shoes. Yeah, just tip. You could see the tip sticking out.
But,
Now, talk about the journey of finding your dad and finding your history.
So, you know what? I went to the Dominican Republic. I did the documentary. That's on HBO.
Yep.
And my father, you know, when I met my father asked me for money. And it was
the first question?
It was not the first question, but it was probably like the fourth. And it was very painful because I just met him. And, you know, I was really upset with him. I dissed him on stage. It was really, you know, he was DL, I was Monique.
Mm-hmm.
And it got ugly. I went in. And then I decided to really explore what that meant. And my father lives in the Dominican Republic. He's been poor his whole life. You know, I was looking at it from my perspective. I didn't want to hate him. Yeah. I just didn't want to. I wanted to find love in my heart for him. So I sat down and started exploring all of this stuff. And I was like, yo, he is poor. His child came from America.
Not the first, you know, fourth question. You want to know about your daughter. Why she wants to know about me.
I got to know the first three questions first.
Though. I know.
What were the first three questions?
You know, the first thing he asked me about my mom. He asked me how my mom was doing. He cried. You know, he asked me about how things were going for me. You know, he asked me about me, but it was just, I was getting ready to leave because I was only there for 2 days. And he gave me a hug and then he whispered in my ear, I'm going to need you to give me some money. And I was devastated. I left. Mm-hmm. I didn't talk to him for a minute. And, you know, they had mics on me because we were recording a documentary. Mm-hmm. We were in production.
Mm-hmm.
And so all those people heard it. Mm-hmm. And they were like, ah, they felt bad for me.
Yeah.
Did you give him money?
I did.
Mm-hmm. Why did I know she did? Mm-hmm. I know you did.
What's funny about that,
how much
man?
Was it?
I'm not going to say that. But, you know, I was paying him to go away. At that moment, I was like, I'm going to just, because I know he's struggling. But I was like, this is it. This is the cheapest amount of money that I'm going to give away. Mm. And then I had to go do some work, some inner work.
Did you learn to give grace to your parents or just realizing they were just human?
Yes.
Yeah.
My mom, absolutely. You know, who knows what my daughter and my son are going to say about me when they, you
Facts.
Know, You know what I mean? Like, we all think we got it right. You think that because you're not your parents and you're not struggling like your parents were, that they had the best shoes. You never know what the kids are going to say. And so I learned, my mom had her first kid when she was 14, and I didn't know that. I found out when I was writing the book, and that baby died. And the father of the baby died playing Russian roulette.
What?
So, wow. So that was all before I was even born. She was a kid. So I was like, how am I sit here and judge my mother? Like, I mean, you know.
The traumas and stuff she was dealing with, you know.
I was born into it. And so, and it was generational. My grandmother had her first kid when she was 13. My mom was sexually abused at home, so she was trying to get out. You know what I mean? Like, I can't do that to her. And even still, with all of that, she raised four amazing kids. Like, none of us have ever been in trouble. We're all productive. Who does that? You know what I mean? Yeah.
Ida walked in here and was telling us about an interview she did with Gayle King.
Oh, man.
What did you say Gayle King said to you?
Yeah, she said, girl, you've been through some things. You know what is interesting, though? She read the book. And I did an interview a couple of days ago with somebody who didn't read the book. And when I walked in, they were like, girl, your book's so funny. And I was like,
Oh, my God.
That's why I don't.
I just respect people that were like, you know, I didn't read it. So tell me about it. But she was like, you're so funny. And I was like, ooh.
Stop that type of book.
Yo, who was that? Who was that?
Nah.
Well, you know, when Jess and I walked in, and Charlamagne was looking at the book, and he was very interested in the chapter that said pizza and penis.
Yeah, okay. That was the one that he went straight to.
He went straight to pizza and penis.
Because I wanted to know about Carlos. I heard that was your uncle. I wanted to know what was up with him.
We definitely talked about Carlos.
Yeah.
Nothing about no pizza and penis.
But he saw pizza and penis. He didn't even see pizza. He just saw and penis.
That's not true.
And
that's
facts. I need to ask about this. You need to get into it.
You know what's funny? Gayle King was like, I enjoyed this chapter. The chapter is about me getting sexually abused. So it's
Y'all feel stupid now.
No, y'all thought y'all ate with that one.
I ain't gonna lie. Yeah, I do feel stupid. Yeah,
good,
but shut up.
Good.
All right, go ahead.
You know, it was, I want people to be free. Like, I want people who've been through the stuff I've been through to read this and say, I'm gonna be all right. I didn't want to do trauma porn. Like, it's not just woe is me, my life has been bad. It's at every turn is me turning around and say, I'm going to turn this, I'm going to flip this into this. And this is how those things became jokes.
All right, well, don't move. We got more with Ida Rodriguez when we come back. It's The Breakfast Club.
You know a spot, but not just a spot, the spot. Actually, with the 2023 Nissan Frontier, you know a bunch of them. But the key to these great spots? Being able to reach them in the first place. Your spot is out there. Find your frontier in the 2023 Nissan Frontier with standard 310 horsepower, advanced tech, and 281 pound-feet of torque.
We're welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It's an insider's look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give us his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. CJ will be bringing his A-list comedian buddies to keep it light and fire off some hoop takes. Plus, John will be inviting current and former NBA players, friends, and teammates to join the show as well to give their unfiltered accounts of what really goes on in the league from a player's perspective. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
State Farm Insurance gets it. Representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. State Farm understands and wants to help protect our communities by investing in our future, building off the hard work our parents have done before us. We all are looking to create generational wealth so that our families and generations behind us have a better starting point than we did. That begins with financial literacy. State Farm helps fund programs like Project Ready, a National Urban League program committed to the educational achievement of Black and Brown youth. To date, participants have been awarded over $11 million in scholarships offers as a direct result of contributions from State Farm. At Eating While Broke, we hear inspiring rags-to-riches stories on each episode from our guests, but with State Farm, you can begin to write your own success story. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty: Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. We're still kicking it with Ida Rodriguez. Charlamagne?
You think a comedian can even have material without trauma?
Yes. I think we have a spectrum of comedy, and we need... Sinbad was not... trauma driven, mm-hmm, and we love Sinbad, and yeah, undeniably one of the funniest.
Shout to Sinbad too.
Clean, yeah, mm-hmm, he's healing
well, yeah.
Yeah, clean comedy. I do think so. We need that. We need all, especially people of color. We can't all be the color purple. Like, right. We need some right levity. We need to have comedians who are lighthearted, mm-hmm, and do jokes about things. Everybody doesn't have to be deep, and you know that's pretentious. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm, I think some of us need our, we ain't have a Carrot Top. Like Carrot Top is a millionaire, yeah, in, yeah, Vegas. Yeah. We've never had a comedian like that can just be, you know, why we always have to have the burden of walking around being the heaviness.
Yeah,
you know?
But it's because we black and brown. Like it's a certain privilege that comes with being a Carrot Top. To, you
know? Yeah, but we need one. We need somebody walking around with props. Mm-hmm. Just, you know.
Now talk to us about how junkies and prostitutes assisted your mom.
My mom, the person she was dating at the time, beat her. She was pregnant, and he left her for dead in the park, in Central Park. She was 9 months pregnant, and it was the junkies and the prostitutes that were around who took her to the hospital. Helping and her. Saved her life. So she's, my mother is not a respecter of persons. She lives that Bible life. Like, she feeds anybody. She's so wounded, but she'll never forget. She does not look down on anybody, and so... We were never allowed to do that. We could never make fun of somebody because, you know, whatever it was, she'd be right, like, don't right do that. She will always say it was the prostitutes and the junkies. That's what they called them, not the people. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. She was like, those are the people who saved your brother's life. And so we were raised to just, you know, that's how we all are. Always.
Treat everybody with respect.
Mm-hmm. Ida, when this becomes a movie or a miniseries, is it going to be a dramedy or a horror movie? What the hell?
Nah, it's a dramedy. I'm developing a TV show now. No, it's gonna be a dramedy. We gotta laugh at it.
Yeah. How difficult was it to write this?
It was hard as hell.
And how long did it take?
Because I wrote my own book. There's no ghostwriter. Mm-hmm. So the thing is, mm-hmm, it took me 2.5 years, but I've been working on that book for 7 years. But you know, like you say, you're gonna write a book because you got the ideas and you got the stories. Mm-hmm. But when you start writing them down, and that publisher, that editor is like, I need 80,000 words.
That's right.
It becomes a whole different, you like, damn, I could just tell you, when you write the story down, it's 2 pages. You're like, that's it, I got right it. But now you got to go in and you got to details. Mm-hmm. And it was one of the hardest things I ever did. One of the greatest lessons for me not to take anything for granted. Because, you know, these authors have been real snobby towards me. Like, even people of color that I've reached out to and I've been posting about their books, and they all been kind of like, kind of greasy with me.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's
because I'm a comedian stepping into their world. Mm-hmm. And they're like, here goes another one, they're gonna do a book and then they're gonna bounce. And I was like, no, I've been writing my whole life. My stand-up is writing, my TV shows are writing, you know, this book is writing, the movies I've written, I'm a real writer. And I don't need y'all validation because y'all goofy for that. But I understand that, you know, they do this all day long, and then celebrities will come in, do books, mm-hmm. they do the press, and then they out. They're mm-hmm. like, that's just one more notch on their belt. Mm-hmm. They don't really assume the role of author. Where I could write books until I die. Like mm-hmm. I would like to. So.
Was it good therapy or bad therapy? Because you had to relive a lot of the stuff, I'm sure, trauma that you had yes. since a kid. So sometimes you push it out of your brain so you don't mm-hmm. have to think about it. But when you're writing a book, you got to dive deep into it. It can't just be like two pages, like you said.
It was traumatic to relive it, but I needed to do it so I could heal. Like mm-hmm. I needed to forgive so I could move on. Because you know what? That's the thing about forgiveness. It's for you. Right? You think it's yeah. for the other person. I ain't forgiving them. What do they say? You know, revenge is like drinking poison and hoping the enemy dies. I needed to forgive these people, like all of them. My stepfather, the one who got his ass whooped on the bus stop for being racist. Like, I needed to just let it go. And I want somebody else to read it and also let it go. Like, your life can be so great when you forgive somebody. That doesn't mean you got to hang out with them.
Right.
You don't have to forget. I choose to forget. But it's freedom.
I'm realizing forgiveness isn't linear, though.
No, it's not.
Because you gotta remind yourself, okay, I forgave him.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, you gotta remind, and you gotta accept it. Acceptance is probably one of the hardest things we deal with. People always say, love yourself, love yourself. Mm-hmm. You can love yourself. Acceptance is where we thrive, right? Being able to say, I'm okay with the fact that I'm never going to be a size 2 again. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like that is freedom for me.
Yeah.
Instead of, you know, love is beautiful, but love, what Tina Turner said, what's love got to do with mm-hmm. it? I think acceptance has been the greatest journey for me. And yeah, I forgave them people.
What did writing the book teach you about illegitimacy?
You know, that illegitimacy and feeling those feelings of not feeling invalidated are crippling for most people. We all battle with it, whether it's because you dark skin or you don't speak English, you got an accent, you're in a wheelchair. Like, we all struggle with it. They can give it a term for every single sector of it, but the truth is that we all battle with it, and we cannot give it to somebody else to declare it for us. Mm-hmm. We cannot. That's my favorite scene in Jerry Maguire, was when Regina King looked Cuba Gooding in the eye and said, we validate our worth. Mm-hmm. And that was like the most powerful thing I had seen at that age, because I was much younger. You got to validate your own worth. Mm-hmm. In comedy, you know, people are always saying who they think is funny, who is great, you cannot let anybody else tell you who you are. Because if you give them the power to feed you give them the power to starve you.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. That validation has to come from within.
Mm-hmm. I was going to ask, you know, one of the producers after reading the book was like, she has to hate all men. Like, damn near all men did her dirty in this book. Mm-hmm. So how do you feel about men after, you know, them going through the process of a lot of men that did you dirty, a lot of men that were foul to you?
Well, if you read the book, then you would see that I adore my uncles. My uncle Carlos passed away. Yeah. And my uncle Raymond. My uncles raised me. My uncles together, they were a transformer. They all got together and they became the father that I needed. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And they used to be hustlers. They were on the streets. But they have always been my heroes. I love men so much. I made a great one. My son is an amazing human being.
Amazing.
And I don't hate men. And I hate that the rhetoric, like all of this stuff that goes on social media with men and women. It is so toxic and unnecessary. It's just divide and conquer just keeps getting deeper and deeper in terms of what happens with our communities. I uphold men, and I, you know, I hold them accountable, but I hold women accountable too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not basic, so I don't delve in that. Men ain't, you know, it's some men that are trash. It's a bunch of women that are mm-hmm. trash too. Mm-hmm. You know, it's some non-binary people that are trash.
Yeah, right.
So everybody gets it, you know. So I don't hate men.
Yeah.
All right, well, don't move. We got more with Ida Rodriguez when we come back. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Charlamagne Tha Guy. We are the Breakfast Club. We're still kicking it with Ida Rodriguez. Yes, Charlamagne?
I think another thing people will learn from is, like, you know, growing up without your father's last name.
Yeah.
How did you feel after your mom told you why?
I felt worse, because she gave it to me so casually. She was so, like, cavalier about it. But it was because that was what she knew. She grew up, she didn't have her father's last name. You know, it was like, it just means you don't have your dad's last name. Like, it's all good. For me, it was a stamp that it made me a victim to. I thought in my head, that means I'm going to get mistreated. People know my father is not around, because my idea of a daddy was protection, you know,
provide.
Exactly. You know, you're very good. Mm-hmm. You. I don't know if you are in real life, but on social media, you're a great.
I am. No, because you know people allow social media.
You know, but you know what I'm saying. No, you know, people do it off of the. You know, but
I know some Instagram daddies. Some FaceTime fathers. Mm-hmm. That's what I call them.
Man,
FaceTime
fathers. I'm serious about mine. I am messy because I put some people on. Right. I know some stories, but
yeah.
The thing was that I thought that because that's what I thought a father was, it mm-hmm. made me feel vulnerable. Like I was like, now anybody can do anything to me, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't true. My grandmother was walking around with that gun, making sure that she protected us.
Mm-hmm. Ida, man, your story is crazy.
It is.
even having a child, your mama is a hoe. Like,
oh yeah, because you know what? That's what kids would do when you not they see your mom in the you know in the mm-hmm. hood everything is fair game.
Oh, I know. Mm-hmm.
When you playing them dozens, those kids will be like, "That's why your pappy got cancer." Like it's the kids are evil. You
oh,
know,
we was from it was crackhead son. Like yeah. if you was a child, if your daddy was a crackhead, your mom's like, crackhead son, crackhead daughter.
Yeah, that's how we process the pain. That's how we deal with it. And when somebody said that, mama, the creepiest thing about the whole thing was that the lady who said my mama was a hoe was the biggest hoe on the block. Like
that's how you
know, and she was talking about my mom because she thought that because her kids had the same father and we didn't, that she was better than my mom. Mm-hmm. And I was like, how sad. Now that I'm an adult, I'm like, what a sad existence that's where you pop your collar. Not something you did positive in the world, but my kids got the same daddy and they got their father's last name. Mm-hmm. So I'm better than you. And I was like, nah. That's when I started snapping. I was like, no, gee, she's a hoe.
Do you believe in people being hoes?
Well, you know, it depends on who you allow. I mean, I always told my daughter, you determine your hoe. Don't you let the streets do it.
Yeah.
You know what your threshold is. Mm-hmm. We start allowing. I mean, that's very patriarchal. That's where it's rooted in. And people, men get to call women hoes all day long and assess their value while they out there hoeing.
That's right.
Spreading diseases, doing all kinds of stuff. Not all men, but y'all know what I'm talking about. So, so I think that if you're going to use hoes, let it be across the board. But if you only
you sing that hoes out too. You can use hoes.
Because we use it. I mean, I'm not gonna come up here and act like I'm pious. Like I'm some
right.
You know, we don't do that. We be calling people hoes too. But we talk about dudes like we talk about women. Like we not just sitting here. You know, women love to do that too. Because women. They have socialized us to hate each other. So when we love to call other women, you know, I'm not like that. Yes, you are. You've had your moments.
Yeah.
Stop it.
Yeah.
A guy be lying. Like, guys be like, oh, she a hoe. And I be like, oh, you hit? No. So how you know?
Because my man told her.
Yeah,
that,
my partner said.
Yeah, it's talked about.
Yeah. But everybody just need to shut up.
The thing is, like, do you really care? Like, honestly, the thing about social media that has really been, my management is always like, you're really terrible at social media. And I am. But I'll say this, like, I'm always watching people, like, the people who are like, I'm letting the haters know. Nobody cares. Like, the people who are like, I'll show them. Who are you showing?
Yeah.
The people will look at it. They'll comment. They'll talk about it. And then they move on to
the next thing.
Because they're consuming it like Doritos. They don't care. You put so much effort into shutting your haters down.
Yeah.
God bless James Hanna, brilliant comedian who passed away. He used to say, people of colors, haters are their imaginary friends. Because he was like, they don't exist.
That's right.
He was like, it's you know, we put so much weight on that.
Yeah.
Do you really care? If I don't care who's a hoe. Like, they talk about J-Lo all the time. And I'm like, how does that affect my food? Like, how does that affect my mama? I don't give a damn. Like, it's for a minute and then you move on. So, just remember, when you are directing all that energy to the people who you really think you're shutting down, they don't care. Nobody cares.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Now, it's almost the holidays. These memoirs cause problems.
Oh, yeah.
How does your family feel about you revealing so much in the book?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think the only people who read the book so far are my aunt and uncle, the normal ones that are in D.C. Because half of my family is in Florida and the other half is in like the DC, Virginia area and the DMV.
Okay, DMV.
Yeah, they the normal ones. So they're cool. They all right. I'm going to sit with my mom and go through the book because I want to make sure my mom isn't. Yeah, I can't. I don't ever want to demonize her. So I want her to understand where that came from. And I'm going to read the back first with her because, you know, I give her grace throughout the book, but yeah. I want her to know that she's still the queen.
Wow. Are you dreading that conversation?
It's still good.
It needs to be had. She still has to be accountable. She was still my mom, you know. Mm-hmm. Like I still went through a lot of stuff in life, you know, as a kid. And she should, you know, she's said to me, "I'm so sorry for the things that I put you through. I was a kid." But you know, I think it's a necessary conversation for us to heal. She needs to forgive her mother. She's still mm-hmm. holding on mm-hmm. to things about my grandmother's dead. I'm like, bro, you gotta let it go. Like yeah. she's gone, mm-hmm. you know, and you have to move on.
I don't think there's too many things that are more freeing than an apology from your parents.
I got it. Mm-hmm. I got
That's why I say I apologize now mm-hmm. as a father to my young kids, just yes. because I know how it felt to never hear that from a parent you feel like might have did you dirty.
Yeah, and amnesia. Like, my mom used to beat my ass, and now when I talk about it, she's like, "I never hit you." And I'm like, wow. What? This is revisionist history at its best. She used to beat my... I mean, she fractured my ankle. I wrote an essay in there. She did. My mother was... Because my mom got hit with an extension cord.
Me too. Mm-hmm.
So she felt like, because she hit us with a belt, that it wasn't
as bad as the extension cord. Uh-huh.
And it wasn't. But I was like, yo, and that switch, my grandmother, mm-hmm. We used to... And so... That's a people of color thing. In Spanish, it's called la varita, and they'd be like, and she'd go get vete buscar tu varita, go get your switch. And there was no winning in that. There was not a switch that didn't hurt, that didn't exist. Yeah. You know?
Jesus. All right, man. Well, the book is out right now. Make sure you get it.
Legitimate.
We appreciate you for joining us.
Yes. Thank you for having me. I appreciate y'all.
What else you got coming up, Ida?
So I'm directing another special, a comedy special. I'm trying to direct as many women of color comedy special because I want them to get out. Marcella's did really well on HBO. I'm doing one with Gina Brion. I'm shooting her special in December, and I'm developing two TV shows because I want to not just work, but I want to be surrounded by people who look like me, sound like me, you know, people of color, Black people, and I want to put some people to work.
There you go.
So I'm developing the shows right now, and I'm getting ready to direct this special.
Dope.
That is amazing. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah. It's Ida Rodriguez.
Go get Legitimate Kid right now.
And it's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Salute to the good news, Ida Rodriguez. Thank you for pulling up. Legitimate Kid, a memoir is out right now. Make sure you go pick that up. And we got Donkey of the Day coming up next, man. I'm going to tell you about a pastor who is spreading more than the good gospel. His name is Pastor Ralph D. West, and oh, that D might stand for dirty. He needs to come to the front of the congregation. We would like to have a word with him this morning. It's the Breakfast Club.
That was Donkey of the Day.
Damn, the hee-haw again.
It's time for Donkey of the Day.
I'm not trying to be Donkey today no more.
They should be embarrassed by what they already did. I'm not making these people do these things.
Called Donkey of the Day, and it really caught me off guard.
Damn, Charlamagne, who got the Donkey of the Day today?
Donkey of the Day for Friday, October 19th goes to a Houston pastor by the name of Ralph D. West. And oh, that D might stand for dirty. See, most people go to church and they expect the pastor to lay hands on them. The laying on of hands is both a symbolic and formal method of invoking the Holy Spirit, mostly during baptisms and confirmations, healing services, and blessings. Well, Pastor Ralph D., and oh, that D might stand for dirty, was laying more than them holy hands on people in his congregation. Let's go to KPRC NBC2 for the report, please.
Attorney Sean Murphy is speaking for his client, who a jury found contracted genital herpes from Reverend Ralph D. West II after meeting off Facebook. As seen here on the Church Without Walls website, he's listed as the Eldridge campus minister.
The things that we look at for cases like these are essentially four things. Is the defendant infected, and how can we prove it? Did he know he was infected? And, you know, how do we prove, and do we have evidence of that?
Not only does Murphy say they were able to prove those facts, but also that Wes lied when asked about having herpes and that he gave it to his client after they had unprotected sex in March of 2018.
She got an outbreak 2 or 3 days later, went in and got tested, and, you know, from there, able, you know, through the medical records, able to identify that he was the source of it, in part because she hadn't been with anybody else. She had had a prior negative test.
Murphy says subsequent conversations supported the claims.
When she asks, you know, where did this come from? His response was his son's mother.
He adds there were also emails between West and his client,
where she accuses him of knowing he had it, of giving it to her, You know, and there's other allegations about not caring about me, that kind of thing.
Ralphie L. Douglas West, known as Pastor Ralph D., an O to D definitely stands for disgusting. See, most pastors have a spiritual gift. A pastor is God-gifted to develop relationships with others and then assume the responsibility for each member's spiritual welfare. You would hope, you would actually want, you would pray that the pastor's spiritual gift is indeed a gift that keeps on giving. But note, I said spiritual gift, not sexual. The sexual gift that keeps on giving is herpes. Now, I'm not here to herpes shame anyone, okay? I did some research, and by research, I meant Googled, and it said over 195 million people in America may have genital herpes. So, drop on the clues bombs for all our listeners out there with a bad case of the bubble nuts, okay? Brothers, how y'all feel? Sisters, y'all all right? I see you out there dealing with that Herpinator 1000, all right? Drop on the clues bombs for all the ladies out there dealing with the Herpinator 1000, okay? It's time for the Herpinator. It's time for the Herpinator. It's time for the Herpinator. Now, I know that pastors love to do beneficial things for their congregation. See, Pastor Ralph D., and that D definitely stands for detestable, was doing what we call here at Hee Haw Missionary Baptist, preaching and skeeting, all right? Spending time with his flock, all right? Leading with love, but clearly no glove. The man was out here sharing herpes instead of sharing the gospel. Do you know this man's church was called the Church Without Walls? I'm not making this up, people. You heard it in the news report. It was called the Church Without Walls. I bet the woman that he probably shared herpes with wish she didn't have walls either, okay? Because when that herpes gets inside said vagina, where do you think it's gonna go, huh? Don't act stupid with me now. It hurts when you pee because you got sores all on your interior walls, on your vulva too, but definitely on those walls. How convenient for you, pastor, to have a church without walls, but the woman you infected doesn't have that luxury. Can I get a bump, bump, bump from the congregation, please? Somebody out there right now dealing with a breakout, and they understand exactly where I'm coming from. Now, I need to ask all my Christians with herpes one simple question. Do you have faith? Do you believe that you can be healed in Jesus' name? Do you stand in front of the mirror, genitals looking like an Oscar Mayer olive loaf, and say, heal me in Jesus' name? Well, let me be the first to tell you, all prayers to heal herpes go to Jesus' spam folder. All right, Jesus got much more pressing issues to deal with than the bumps in the alley. All right, your bumps in the alley can wait. Now, this is what I find extremely interesting about this story, and it's something all God-fearing individuals can learn from. All of this could have been avoided if all parties involved were actually living how the Bible says you should live. Ain't that something? If the pastor was simply living by the word of God, he wouldn't be out here tithing and offering herpes to people in his church. What's that saying? Sin is not simply making bad choices or mistakes. Sin is having the desire in our hearts to do the will of the enemy of God. You chose to do the will of the enemy of God. Now, they say no matter the decisions you've made, Jesus loves you and will forgive you. It's a beautiful thing. But always remember, God forgives, herpes don't. All right, you got to pay this woman $2.5 million. Do you know how much Valtrax you can buy with $2.5 million? More importantly, Pastor Ralph D., and the D definitely stands for this nigga. Do you know how much relief $2.5 million could provide the members of your church? How many people in your church praying for a blessing and you out here spreading glitter? Yeah, herpes is glitter because a comedian named Dimitri Martin once said, the thing about glitter is if you get it on you, be prepared to have it on you forever because glitter doesn't go away. Glitter is the herpes of craft supplies. So if glitter is the herpes of craft supplies, then herpes is just glitter. And that's what you was out here putting on people. Do you know when people ask to describe you in one word from now on, that word is going to be herpes? Personally, I think when you give someone herpes and you get charged for giving them herpes and you have to give them $2.5 million or any type of settlement like that, you should have to walk around in public with a herpes belt, okay, from the makers of Hermes. You should have to wear a herpes belt. Hear me out, okay? Same concept, same look, same feel, same H. It's just covered in tiny little clusters of rubies all over the H to symbolize outbreaks, okay? And that lets everybody know that it's time for the Herpinator. It's time for the Herpinator. It's time for the Herpinator. Please give Pastor Ralph D. West the sweet sounds of the Hamiltones.
Oh, now you are the donkey of the day.
Now, Charlamagne, I got to make one correction.
What?
You said the D stands for this nigga. It's this nigga, not this.
I said this.
No, you didn't. You said this. I mean, this. You got a lisp, but I can't understand what you're saying.
Your throat messed up this morning.
Nah, my throat's better now.
So you can get with this or you can get with that. Okay?
All right. Well, thank you for that, Don.
When you got the kind of tongue I got, anytime you say anything like this, that, it all sounds like I'm saying it with a D.
It sounds like you're spitting, too.
Probably, yeah.
All right. Well, thank you, Charlamagne, for that donkey today. When we come back, South Carolina rapper Nick Grant will be joining us. We're going to kick to him next. So don't move. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
You know a spot, but not just a spot, the spot. Actually, with the 2023 Nissan Frontier, you know a bunch of them. But the key to these great spots? Being able to reach them in the first place. Your spot is out there. Find your frontier in the 2023 Nissan Frontier with standard 310 horsepower, advanced tech, and 281 pound-feet of torque.
We're welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It's an insider's look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give us his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. CJ will be bringing his A-list comedian buddies to keep it light and fire off some hoop takes. Plus, John will be inviting current and former NBA players, friends, and teammates to join the show as well to give their unfiltered accounts of what really goes on in the league from a player's perspective. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Seeing our communities grow and thrive is something we care deeply about here at Black Tech Green Money. State Farm Insurance also cares about the growth of black communities. They're actively investing in programs and initiatives that help provide financial literacy, give early career advice, and grow black-owned businesses, thus leading to generational wealth, which helps protect the future of our communities. We want to build a future that we all can be proud of. State Farm understands that representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. It also requires active sponsorship of programs like the AXO, a year-long program that recognizes and rewards high school students for their academic and cultural achievements, along with funding programs like Project Ready, a National Urban League program committed to educational achievement of black and brown youth that has awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers to date. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and can have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Morning, everybody.
everybody. It's DJ Envy, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. Jess Hilarious is here, of course. Mm-hmm. And we got a special guest in the building. His new album, Sunday Dinner, is available now. Ladies and gentlemen, Nick Grant.
Nick Grant.
What up, baby?
What's up, y'all? Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Apologies, man. Please forgive me for sleeping on Sunday
Dinner. Nah, it's all good.
I just got to it, man. Yeah. I really just got to it. One of the best rap albums of the year.
Oh, man.
I got it right under Killer Mike by just a hair. By Just a Hair by Killer Mike Michael.
Nick's like, all right, man. Yeah. I respect it.
Yeah. But, you know, I feel like this is the best album of the year.
You think it's the best rap album of the year?
For sure, for sure.
Why do you feel that way? Other than because it's you.
Just lyrically, I think I'm like above a lot of people. I just don't get that credit just because I don't have certain backing. I don't have certain things that, you know, mm-hmm. or I might just be a threat to a lot of different MCs.
You say that on the album?
Yeah. For sure, for sure. So, yeah, that's just what I feel.
Explain the title.
I'm not favorite. Sunday Dinner is just basically me just growing up in my grandmother's crib. Mm-hmm. My mom and father had like addiction issues, and you know, in their periods of like breaking up and trying to figure it out, I would go back to my grandmother's house. You know, she was a little older raising me, but it was like, yo, all right, I got three rules: school, church, Sunday dinner. You know, and I'm just picking up all of these different personalities that I want to become and don't want to become. And essentially, everybody becomes, you know, an experience on the album. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
Now, when you talk about rapping, you talk about the way that you rap. You don't really hear that nowadays, right?
For sure.
Does that bother you, deter you from you spitting? Because, you know, you don't really hear that much.
I used to be pissed off about it, but I feel like my purpose and my story is just a little different. You know, I feel like I'm meant to be in this era just because, maybe because it's lacking in this time. And that's my job, to kind of carry on tradition in a way.
Mm-hmm.
I used to be upset about it, but it doesn't bother me.
I disagree with what Envy said, though, only because when you look at the last decade or so of hip hop, the top three rappers are all lyricists.
Still all lyricists.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
And that's Cole, Kendrick, and Drake. And then you still got your Wale's and your Big Sean.
I agree, you've had
your Nipsey's. You know, you had
for sure.
Like all of those people, Rhapsody, Snaps. Like, I think all of those people are dope.
Carolina.
You know?
Yeah.
For sure. I just think sometimes it's just a matter of time.
I agree with that. I agree with that more. Yeah.
Have you had your I Made It moment yet?
I had a few moments that I'm like proud of. I think like touring with like Nas and Lauryn Hill was like a good one for me.
Yeah,
just the experience of it was like, it's dope.
You said that on the album, and I'm like, I missed when he was on tour with Lauryn Hill.
For real?
What was the line?
Well,
you said
everybody missed that show when
she was late.
She definitely came.
Nick had to do more songs because she was
to perform the whole album. Jesus, they get her to come out.
What was the bar? You said you used to.
I used to watch Sister Act.
Sister
Act. My cousin passed away like on a field trip, so I rapped about it on the album. And I remember everybody like just going to see him. I didn't want to see him like that. This was like my best friend. So I was like, yo, I'm going to watch this movie. I'm going to sit here and watch this movie. I'm 10 years old in the crib watching this movie by myself. And it kind of helped just get me through that moment, through that trauma. When I remember telling her about it on the tour.
Oh, wow.
And she just kind of helped me in that way. So I kind of felt like, you know, it was the perfect time. That was something I was running away from. A lot of the stuff you hear on the album is like a lot of just real life situations that I was running from. And I just finally had to like look in the mirror and be like, yo, it's time.
So was it that moment on tour with Lauryn, remembering yourself watching Sister Act, that made you finally deal with the passing?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Wow. This is an album that I wanted to put out. Amir will tell you, this is like one of the albums I wanted to put out when I first came out. But I don't think I was like mature enough to tell it the way that I'm telling it now.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
When I first came in, I was, you know, like a wide-eyed child. But now I'm just in a place where I'm like, you know, I'm matured enough. I'm 35 now. So it's like...
Yeah, okay. Sure. Hey, you still look young. That's so good. You know what I mean?
Was it growth or did you do some work on yourself?
Like absolutely. Therapy okay. for sure.
Right,
therapy
gotcha, gotcha.
For sure. Like, you know, you're not in control of anything for real. You're under God's law and you gotta find a way to fit into that. And I had to, you know, figure that out, and I just found the courage to tell the story. Like even when you listen to like the intro of the album, it's like my mom is like yelling at a boyfriend, but you know, and it's a way that I never wanted the world to see my mom. So it's like, all right, that's the first step. The thing that I fear the most, gotta open the album. You know what I'm saying? So God worked in a way to where it just fit perfectly on the album and opened up the album. So.
Do you have a favorite song on there? Or what song means the most to you? Yeah, I like that. What song makes you most emotional?
Most emotional. I think it's the intro.
The intro.
Worrying about a classic.
Yeah, worrying about a classic. Mm-hmm. Like, just talking about all of that stuff. And I remember going to, like, my neighborhood, and I remember Amir pulled up one day, and he was like, yo, there ain't no windows on these buildings.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole time I lived there, I never really noticed that because it was like normal to me. So it was like those things, those little things on the album was like things that I was scared to face once again. And I kind of like just put it together and kind of got it right.
That's a great record. And you say in the hook, you say, I'm trying to get my people right. But y'all worried about a classic.
Yeah.
Explain that, because I got some thoughts.
For me, it was like, yo, I'm like, I'm going through like different things. I'm like maturing. I'm like finding myself. I'm going through like a whole bunch of stuff, just family wise, career wise as well. And while I'm going through these things, you get people like, yo, when the album coming? When the album drop it? Like, did you buy the last album? So I'm going through these stuff, like through these different things. And that's what inspired like the hook. And I'm just like seeing people like, you know, not to be dark, but I'm just seeing people die young. And hearing about, yo, people that I saw growing up, like, leaving us. So that was one of the things that I just wanted to address. And it's like, yo, I got, like, real-life issues, and it's crazy because I feel like I made my best body of work, not trying to make my best body of work.
Yeah.
Because I would think getting your people right would be part of you making a classic record. Like, if you make a classic record and it takes off,
that's
more money.
For sure.
You know? So you kind of do got to focus on the album.
Absolutely. Yeah. You do. But I feel like the kind of person I am, the kind of artist I am, you got to live life as well.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You got to live life and, you know.
Because that's what creates.
Absolutely.
That clap. People, I mean, I would imagine I'm not an artist, never been one.
Yes, you are.
But
you're a comedian.
Yeah, but I'm saying like in form of music. Right. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, I can spit a little bit of buzz too, but you know, we not going to get there. All right, wait. Ripping on any beat. It's like, nah. But look, though, right? No, what I'm saying, I think you would have to go through, live life and go through your trying times, your challenges. That's what makes the classic. Nobody goes in the studio like, yo, I'm going to make a classic today. You don't know until the people will tell you it's a classic.
You gotta be moved by the spirit, man. You gotta be moved by something bigger than you, you know?
Right.
And me, a lot of times, it's all about just carrying the integrity in there. Like, I read something like that Quincy Jones said. He's like, yo, when you think about money, while you're creating, God walks out of the room. So, you know, so you gotta keep that first. You gotta keep, you know, the story. The story is the most important. I feel like your story is your superpower. And
definitely.
I never really felt like that until this album.
All right, we got more with Nick Grant when we come back. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ NV, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We're kicking in with Nick Grant. Charlamagne?
Let's go to Know Your Worth. Mm-hmm. You know, another great record. Is that something you have to tell yourself?
Not constantly, but it was something like I felt like I have to like celebrate myself a little more, because it's like work, figure out my problems, figure out the problems of the family, figure out all this other shit, and just having so much on my shoulders to where it was like, you know, it's like when I wrote it, I was like, yo, it's something about a black man just saying knowing your worth and, you know, celebrating yourself and patting yourself on the back.
Yeah.
It's the smallest thing, because you can still celebrate the smallest thing in your journey. So,
because women say that often. You don't really hear men say that. Like, we should.
Yeah, for sure.
But that's the sassy problem. No, it ain't no little sassy. No, it ain't. You got to know your worth. Ain't nothing sassy about knowing your worth.
There's nothing sassy about it.
It's just that women, we like to say it a lot. And sometimes women say it and don't even know their worth. They just shout it because it's something to be said now. Yeah. But nah, knowing your worth, that's for all human beings.
For
like, you have to know.
For sure.
Period.
I want to jump to the record Heaven. Where you get Tweet from?
Man, I DM Tweet. You know, I'm like a huge fan of Tweet. Like, the whole, I always say, like, yo, when I was growing up, if I was signing anybody, it would have been Missy, Tweet.
Yeah.
Just that whole camp.
Like,
just so innovative, so creative. And man, I just loved her voice. Southern Hummingbird is like a classic to me. So I just DM'd her. She hit me back, like, yo, you're incredible. I would love to. So came by the studio. This black woman.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. You know, real black woman, like. I ain't even finished the song. One of them, like,
I gotta go.
Yeah, for sure.
Right.
So yeah, nah. Damn. Good energy, special person. I love Tweet.
So what's the story you trying to tell on Heaven? What are you trying to convey?
The story on Heaven is basically, it's still in theme with the album and still aligned with the album. Even when I start with the first verse, like, damn, you brave saying you never sold crack.
Mm-hmm.
In a funny industry where everything is an act. You know, my whole story was like, man, I would get in interviews and lie and say, act like this perfect person, and I wasn't, you know what I'm saying? Because I was afraid motherfuckers to see who I really was, you know, judge me, you know, but I think that was just a young thing. I'm not perfect. I got a lot of things that I'm working on. So.
And you know your worth.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure, 100%.
Full circle.
So is that why grandma said is with know your worth? Because
absolutely.
It go hand in hand, like, for the things your grandma told you.
Absolutely. Okay, for sure. A million percent. Like, even with my cousin on the beginning, like, get in the house. It's like certain things that trigger certain moments and trigger certain words and kind of helps the album flow. You're doing the homework.
Yeah.
Doing this homework.
Yeah, nah, for real. We over there say, yo, this is one of the once you know he listened to every song on that. So tell me about Heaven. Like, well, yo, you know I ain't even listening to that yet. Yo, you sitting there asking.
Yo, we need to find the lyrics. Like, so when you said they be looking out on the block, like, yo, I don't know. Come on, yo.
Are they putting pressure on you to put on for South Carolina?
Oh, man, it's a good question. I'm putting pressure on myself, really. Yeah. It's a lot of people that still don't know I'm from South Carolina, even though I waved the flag so heavily. And you influenced me with that in a way, like, even with coming out. Like, yo, you got a whole state to yourself. Like,
yeah.
You got to do that. And those, these are, like, my experiences. Like, even when I went home, I shot a movie. It's Always Love. I shot a movie, like, a short comedy for the album. So, and just, like, the people and all the memories and all the different things. And you got a few people that's like, man, keep, you know, repping the city, rep for South Carolina, right? You're the one.
Nice.
That's kind of like a thing that keeps me going when I hear that.
Was Dope Fiends theme for your parents?
Yeah, it was. Okay. It was. I threw a little bit of, like, you know, stuff about the music industry and stuff that I was going through in it. But yeah, it was. Yeah, for sure.
Because you, I don't know, for sure you heard Mike's album. And he got the Something for Junkies.
Something for Junkies, yeah.
And he did that, you know, because basically he was saying that, you know, there's no, I don't want to say celebratory way, but when people are addicted, it's actually an addiction. Like, it's something, it's not something that should be looked down upon.
For sure. You know? Absolutely. It's you know, disease. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So, like, for me, it was, it changed my life. I didn't see it that way at the time. Like, I didn't see, like, my mom. Like, I would be angry a lot of times because of the back and forth. So it went on Contra Blessings. It's like, yo, I went to 13 schools by the age of 14.
Yeah.
Just because of my mom's addiction and her and my dad trying to work it out and they arguing. And, you know, as I grew older and kind of found myself, I was like, yo, you know, these people are still human and they got their own issues. They got their own things that they're fighting. And I had a better understanding of it. So,
yeah.
Who was you mad at on Catch This Fade, man?
Oh, my God. What number was that? Yo, only gotta listen to three songs. Yo, this thing, we on number 28. Yo, so how do we?
So what, like, number was damn.
So who was you trying to fight on Catch This Fade?
But no, I mean that's the one you shot out 843 on that. So I mean,
yeah, for sure.
Okay.
Who was you mad at? You talking about shooting at people and?
No, I wasn't. I was saying, like, put the guns down and fight.
I was saying, what is happening? See, look.
Pop don't mean
he listening.
I'm gonna shoot you. Like,
what do you mean then?
I'm gonna punch you.
Oh, I know you said pop.
What's that? So what he say?
He said you try me, you gonna get popped.
Yeah, pop. Yeah, like, I'm gonna pop you in your mouth.
I didn't think that. I was thinking shooting.
You said,
then you came back and said which one of these is gonna try to catch this fade.
And even, like, on the second verse, I talk about, like, my first fight.
Got you.
Just fighting somebody, and I went in the house crying, and my dad was like, crying, you won the fight.
Why was you crying?
It was my first one. I was like, first fight. You know.
Oh, you had one of those dads, like, if you come in the house and you crying, I'm gonna make you go fight him again.
Yeah, for sure. Wow. Hell yeah. I don't know why I started crying. My feelings was hurt.
Yeah, that's your first fight.
My first one.
It don't matter what boy, girl, whatever, your first fight and you feel like you lost. Hell no, you coming out was crying. And if you got a dad like him,
yeah, you won.
Oh, you won? You was crying because you won? Oh, nah, I don't know what's up with you, y'all. You, yo, damn, you was crying because you beat him up.
Saying.
You ain't want to hurt him. It was like, no, if you'd have lost, you wouldn't have been crying.
Yeah. You still cry when you get angry?
No.
Okay.
I think that was a childhood phase.
Yeah.
That was like a once in a lifetime thing.
For sure.
Another common theme throughout the album is you keep repeating that you're a threat to people. Or you feel like people look at you as a threat
lyrically, I think a lot of people stay away from me, for sure.
Was there any particular moments that made you realize, like, oh, they really scared of me?
It's been, I've been on records, I won't name them names, I've been on records with, like, people that y'all probably love and respect, because the verse is better. When it comes out, I don't hear
it. You ain't even on it.
Really? Yeah, they take it off the record. Or,
I believe that happens.
That happens a lot to me. Mm-hmm.
What song?
Yo, look at you. Nah, yo. Don't even worry about it, Nick.
It's been a lot of stuff, yeah.
Did you have a conversation with the artist after that? Like, why y'all took me off?
Nah, I was just like, yeah, I ain't, you know, we ain't built to, like, you know.
Yeah,
I would have never did that. I would have been like, you killed me. You got to write something else.
Yeah. They wanted you to be Nick Cannon. You like, nah, I'm Nick Grant. I really spit. I don't be wilding out on y'all. I'm dead ass.
Jeez, crazy.
All right, cool.
Wasn't you with TDE at one point? It felt like it was a TDE Nick Grant thing happening at one point.
Yeah, it was. I was working with Punch on some stuff. Mm-hmm. Just creative differences. He had a group, and I just felt like that wasn't the direction I was going.
Yeah.
And I had to get this story out. So yeah.
Oh, they wanted you to be in a group.
Yeah, we did. I actually did a group project with them. Yeah.
It came out.
Came out.
I don't remember that at all.
Yeah, I don't want to promote it because I ain't over there no more, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, Nick Grant, Sunday Dinner, man. Let's get into a record off the album, man. What you want to play?
What you want to play?
Man, let's play Bravo.
You want to play Bravo?
Yes.
It's Nick Grant. Nick Grant, thank you for coming, brother. Nick Grant, it's The Breakfast Club.
Yes.
Sure, thank you.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club, and it's time for Pass the Aux.
DJ. It's time for Pass the Aux with DJ Nyla.
Yup. Nyla.
Yeah, DJ, come spin now, come spin.
What's up, Nyla?
What's up, guys? How are you?
How was your trip? I seen you was in Italy.
Yes, I went to Italy and then I went to Rome for my mom's birthday. It was really, really amazing. But to top it off, when I got back, I ended up getting a call for Rhapsody. We opened up for Lauryn Hill last night at the Barclays Center. So
did she come on time?
No.
Tell the truth. You was waiting around for a picture and you didn't.
Yeah, why do you always gotta do that?
And midnight hit.
No.
Jesus Christ.
No.
And she still wasn't on stage.
It was honestly pretty much on time. It was just backstage of just a lot going on. But then, you know, Wyclef is there, Prods was there. So
oh, the Fugees came out?
The Fugees was there.
Did she perform? Oh, so you saw the performance?
I didn't stay. I had to be here in the morning. So
she was late, is what you're saying?
Yeah, it sounded like she was late.
Why are y'all always doing that? But let me tell you guys this, because me and Rhapsody have never performed together, and we didn't have time to do a rehearsal, so she literally texted me the songs, texted me the order, and our first time ever.
Y'all killed it.
Yeah, yeah, no, we bought it. We
so you about to be Rhapsody Road DJ, that's what you're telling me?
I think that's coming. I feel
I
that.
Would really that's like dope. That.
I feel that in the works.
Drop a bomb for Nyla, man.
Drop a big bomb for Nyla Simone. Salute to the good sister, Rhapsody, North Carolina's own. Y'all know I love Rhapsody. I've been telling y'all she's the best lyricist out here. And I've heard some new music that confirms what I've always believed.
I can't wait to hear the new album.
That's right.
And honestly, like, I don't really enjoy being a tour DJ, but if I would have to sacrifice time for an artist,
it would be
someone
Rhapsody.
Like Rhapsody is overly worth it.
Word. Dope.
But
let's
right.
jump into Pass the Aux.
Yeah, let's get into the music. This is we talking about real rappers rapping. Wale is back. I'm so excited. I love Wale. I know we just had the conversation last week or the week before about like the top three. And I feel like Wale should really be included in these conversations. His pen is close. Like, no one's really rocking with his pen. But what?
I want to hear it.
Oh, okay. So let's get into his new joint called Max Julian.
All right, for Lauren.
That's dope. And he just signed up with Def Jam, too, right? They said he just did a deal with Def Jam, so that's his first release.
Oh, yeah. Wale's on Def Jam now?
Yes.
I had no idea. That's
he's
new
back
to me.
On Def Jam, right?
I don't what think he was ever on Def Jam.
No, I don't think he was ever on.
I think he was on, like, Interscope. Then he was on MMG.
Epic, yeah.
Okay,
I
don't think he was moved ever around a lot. I know. I feel like... Okay, anyway, I had to Google who Max Julian was. Did y'all know who he was?
No, who's Max Julian?
He's a American actor, sculptor, and clothing designer who played in Blaxploitation film The Max.
All right.
In the 70s. Okay. And he's also from the DMV, from D.C., so.
Thank you for the history lesson.
Yes, of course. Next, we're going to take it to Carolina, South Carolina, to be specific, with an artist named Britton Rashore, and this record is called Goody featuring Childish Major.
He sampled on, what's that sample?
Aaliyah,
right?
Yeah, Aaliyah.
Britton from, he white, right?
Yes, he is.
Okay, all right.
I was going to leave that part out and just let people judge the music, you know.
Oh,
thanks, Charlamagne. Great.
No, I'm just giving context to it. I was trying to figure out if that's the same person I was thinking about. I heard of Britton before.
Fire. I like it. Well, and then he just dropped a little 3-pack EP. So if you want like bars, he got that on there too.
Luther Britton, South Carolina. I think he's from the Metro. I think from 803. I think. I'm not sure.
Don't let me lie. I have no idea. But tap in. And then last but not least is Maya the Don. And she just dropped the EP called Hot Commodity. But my favorite record on there is Hella Scary.
Oh, that's the name of the record, Hella Scary.
Yeah.
I thought you said the record was hella scary. I was like, damn, what this gonna sound
no.
like? I was prepared to be terrified.
Yo, you're silly.
Damn.
Yes. So Maya the Don, Hella Scary, Hot Commodity out now. Maya's really, really fire.
Maya is a presence. You hear me? Like I saw Maya at the BET Hip Hop Awards. She looked like the president or something. Like seriously, she's a prime minister of some place. Like she was in the back seat looking really bossed up.
That's true. So she has big energy.
She got real big energy. Salute to Maya the Don.
Salute to Maya, and also salute to Pass the Aux Live. Going down tonight, it's R&B night in Brooklyn. Okay, we at Cafe Ooze. Zulu with it. Ryan Trey is hitting the stage. Leia and my girl Alex Vaughn. So it's gonna be super, super dope. If you guys haven't already,
dope.
RSVP, download the playlist, follow me on the gram at Nyla Simone, NYLA S-Y-M-O-N-E-E.
What them RSVPs looking like?
Stacked.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Dope. Right. You need to get sleep then.
Well, thank you, Nala.
You out waiting for Lauryn Hill. Like, you ain't got things to do.
Shut up.
Now, when we come back, we got the People's Choice Mix. Get your request in. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. Your mornings will never be the same.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Now, again, shout out to all the students at Howard University. Of course, I'm on my HBCU tour, so I'm still at Howard right now. Last night was the fashion show. Shout out to Lance Gross. Ran into him last night. Me and Clue was DJing, and now today we'll be on the yard. So I can't wait to see you guys. And then next week, another HBCU. Just continue on my tour. What about you, Charla?
I'm going to be home, minding my own goddamn business. Okay.
Goddamn right.
And if I am going somewhere, y'all know I would never tell y'all till I get back.
That's right.
Okay. So I'm just happy that it's the weekend.
That's right.
That's right.
All right. When we come back, we got the positive notes. So don't move. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
You know a spot, but not just a spot, the spot. Actually, with the 2023 Nissan Frontier, you know a bunch of them. But the key to these great spots? Being able to reach them in the first place. Your spot is out there. Find your frontier in the 2023 Nissan Frontier with standard 310 horsepower, advanced tech, and 281 pound-feet of torque.
We're welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It's an insider's look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give us his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. CJ will be bringing his A-list comedian buddies to keep it light and fire off some hoop takes. Plus, John will be inviting current and former NBA players, friends, and teammates to join the show as well to give their unfiltered accounts of what really goes on in the league from a player's perspective. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
State Farm Insurance gets it. Representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. State Farm understands and wants to help protect our communities by investing in our future, building off the hard work our parents have done before us. We all are looking to create generational wealth so that our families and generations behind us have a better starting point than we did. That begins with financial literacy. State Farm helps fund programs like Project Ready, a National Urban League program committed to the educational achievement of Black and Brown youth. To date, participants have been awarded over $11 million in scholarships offers as a direct result of contributions from State Farm. At Eating While Broke, we hear inspiring rags-to-riches stories on each episode from our guests, but with State Farm, you can begin to write your own success story. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. We got a salute to Ida Rodriguez and Nick Grant for joining us. And if you want to hear that full interview, you can just check it out on the iHeartRadio app. You can download it for free, or you can check out BreakfastClubOnline.com.
And make sure you get Ida Rodriguez's book, Legitimate Kid. It's a memoir. It's out right now. And make sure you check out Nick Grant's whole album, Sunday Dinner. You know, for all of you folks that's always complaining about, ain't no more lyricists in hip-hop, man. These kids don't be talking about nothing. Nick Grant is definitely somebody you should be checking out if you feel that way. South Carolina's own Nick Grant. All right.
Well, you got a positive note?
Yeah, I do got a positive note. But first, I want to tell people, make sure you go pre-order my man Doug Melville's book, Invisible Generals. It tells the amazing true story of America's first black generals, Benjamin O. Davis Sr. and Jr., a father and son who helped integrate the American military and create the famous Tuskegee Airmen. That is the next release off my book imprint, Black Privilege Publishing with Simon & Schuster. It'll be in stores November 7th, but you can order it, pre-order it now. All right, we're dropping it the week of Veterans Day. Invisible Generals by my man Doug Melville. So salute to my guy Doug Melville. And the positive note is simply this, man. Be careful what you wish for others, because it just might get to you. All right? To wish bad things for somebody else is actually like looking for something bad to happen to you. Because when you wish bad karma on somebody else, you bring bad karma on yourself, okay? You are consuming and bringing in negative vibes into your life. Instead, be the person you wish they were. Be the person who brings only positive thoughts and good vibes into their own life. Because being negative yourself will only bring negative into your life. Don't poison yourself hoping somebody else will die. All right? Have a great weekend.
Breakfast Club, bitches! Y'all finished or y'all done?
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. This is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200%ers. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more. Then, every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community. Listen to Life as a Gringo on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
From iHeart Podcasts.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
I'm Paul Pringle, an investigative reporter for the LA Times. Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
A rested child is a happy child. Sleep Tight Stories is a weekly podcast that brings comfort and joy to families worldwide with calming bedtime stories. The stories are relevant to children and spark wonder without overstimulation, so they can fall asleep and stay asleep. Listen to Sleep Tight Stories on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. For a bedtime routine you'll miss when they're grown, Sleep Tight Stories.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. Tiffany Cross. Join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. We gather a seasoned elder, myself as the middle generation, and a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations. Prepare to engage or hear perspectives that literally no one else has had. Listen to a Cross Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.